It's Monday, October 15th, 2012, and welcome to episode 138 of Tech Talk for Teachers. I'm Tom Grissom.
And I'm Cindy Rich.
Welcome to Tech Talk for Teachers, the show about teaching and learning with technology. And today we have several items to share with you. First up, we have items in the news that have caught our interest the past couple of weeks.
Right.
So over the weekend, one of the things that really caught my attention was the Red Bull Stratos jump.
And that caught the attention of many people, as we're going to share in a few minutes.
So, the person decided to take a balloon trip to the outer reaches of our atmosphere and make a leap and see if he could beat the sound barrier.
Oh.
So we have that up. And then, Cindy, I believe you're going to talk a little bit about the new ebook settlement hot off the press.
Right. We are definitely covering diverse topics.
Yes.
In this episode.
So technology's everywhere.
Right.
From outer space to planet Earth, down here on planet Earth.
Right.
And then I want to take a few minutes and talk about a podcasting assignment I recently did and share some things that some of our students were working on and how to set up an activity to expand your podcast listening horizons. And then finally, we'll wrap it up with our technology picks of the week.
We will. We've got all kinds of good stuff. And I think, you know, we sort of talk about topics ranging from working with early childhood students to our adult students in our courses. And so interesting how topics differ, yet there are similar threads that go through at all levels.
Yes, so here we go. All right, next up, we would like to take a few minutes here to talk about a couple of items in the news that caught our interest the last couple of weeks. And I'll start off here. For me, this past weekend, there was the Stratos jump, which was sponsored by Red Bull.
It was. And I'm thinking, you know, a hobby like that is not a cheap hobby to have. So you probably would need some sort of corporate sponsorship.
Yeah. And what caught my interest with this and taking the technology angle with it, on Twitter this weekend, I started seeing a lot of, you know, conversation and things. Oh, he's about to jump or whatever.
Right.
And what this is I believe the person's name's Felix Baumgartner. Mm-hmm. And I guess he describes himself as a daredevil/extreme athlete, and he was taking a balloon ride up, I think, 128,000 feet, I think is what it ended up being, which is about, what, 20-some miles?
Oh, my gosh.
And we'll have some links out in the show notes, but the one shot that was just spectacular, he was in a big weather balloon, and he had a capsule.
Mm-hmm.
So, of course, he had to be pressurized, you know, going up that
right.
high. And I mean, just life and death consequences, you know, if you depressurize and things at that altitude. So he was in a pressure suit and had his capsule. And I can't remember, I'll have the article out there, but I think it took 2 or 3 hours, maybe more than that, just to get up to that height.
Yeah, he came down a lot faster.
Yeah, he came down a lot faster. Because the whole point of doing this was he was trying to break the speed of sound.
Right.
And just a human free fall.
You know, why a person wants to do that, I'm not sure, but...
Yeah, well, I'm just thinking of that 2 to 3 hour... you know, ascent. It's like you have a lot of time to think about what am I about to do?
And right. And why?
And why? But my favorite shot was he gets at his ultimate altitude and, you know, opens the cabin door and gets everything checked out. And he stands on a little perch there just getting ready to jump. And he pauses and he gives us a real quick salute and jumps off. But I just can't imagine what's going through your mind.
No, the view.
Oh, yeah, spectacular view.
As I saw that, I'm like, oh my gosh, that's not what people usually see jumping from an airplane with a parachute, you know, or any of that. And it literally looked like, you know, a space.
No, it was. Yeah, the edge of space. I mean,
right.
Still a little bit of a few air molecules and things out there, but I mean, very, you know, 20 miles, whatever it is, 128,000 feet, and then jumping, stepping out, dropping out, whatever you want to call it. But he did break the sound barrier just in a free fall, 833 miles per hour.
Oh my gosh.
And I think I saw a statistic that I think the Falcons, Peregrine Falcon, like goes 250 mile an hour. That's wow. like the fastest bird being able to fly that. So breaking the speed of sound. And, you know, a few episodes ago, we talked, you know, James Cameron did the Challenger Deep.
Underwater.
And that was 7 miles underwater. So we're going from the extreme depths of the ocean to the extreme outreaches of our atmosphere.
We are.
That caught my attention, and particularly technology-wise is, I think the final number was 8 million simultaneous YouTube viewers.
Wow, that's, not only is that number amazing, but it shows the breadth of the interest of viewers right. for something like that. Many different, no matter what job, what career, what area they lived in, this was something that right. really got people's attention.
And infrastructure-wise, out on the internet, it just shattered the records, because I think the Summer Olympics had less than 1 million simultaneous viewers. So, you know, way more than 8 times that. And the infrastructure that we're building, it's essentially, we're almost to the broadcast TV point, which probably has a lot of the cable companies shaking a little bit.
A little nervous.
But, you know, we've talked about how technology is such a disruptor and things in the past. But I think, you know, the video industry and things with the scalability and things, we're really starting to see some of the effects of that scaling.
Right. Oh, yeah, that was such a test for the fact that that was able to successfully be viewed by that many people.
Right.
Really does show that we are increasing our capabilities, and it's getting easier to share information, which basically is getting easier to keep us all informed.
Right.
Which in real time.
Right. And for education, with all the YouTube channels and the scalability and things, there's just no reason for a lot of independent producers to be able to go out there and share that content, whether you're sharing that with one other individual or 100 people or 1,000 or 1,000,000. That scale is out there now, which is just really amazing when you stop and think about it.
It is. And it also adds to the level of responsibility to teachers, because anybody can put anything up there.
Right.
And so it's more important than ever that we make sure that we look at what we're sharing with our students, and that we teach our students to be media savvy and know that, you know, look at what you're putting up there. Is it something that's from a reliable source? Mm-hmm. Or is it, you know, propaganda or something like that that you need to look at for a bias?
And there's no way that YouTube can check that. I mean, that's just going out there. They do have some algorithms that go out and mainly check for copyright issues.
Oh, okay.
So if you upload, say, you know, a music video or
right.
something, they actually do like a sound print, kind of like a fingerprint, that they can mark and tag it and say, hey, this is a violation of copyright. And then they issue takedown notices, which happens all the time. That's very, very
okay.
common. Or you may have seen video or YouTube videos out there with no sound.
Yes.
And that's because somebody probably put that up with like a music sound bed underneath
right.
it.
Right.
But the other thing, the last statistic, and I'm sure it's grown since I last saw this statistic, 72 hours of video is being uploaded to YouTube every minute of the day.
Wow.
So with that type of content being uploaded, you know, there's no human way possible to do that. So it's just amazing the amount of material that's being added daily.
It is, and things that we don't realize are significant right now,
right.
and that down the road will be significant. So from the perspective of somebody that works with primary sources,
mm-hmm.
you know, these things are so important mm-hmm. that they're being preserved.
Oh, the, you know, future historians are just going to have a treasure trove. And hopefully they won't look back on all the cat videos and things.
That's
too.
That's right.
too negatively. But, you know, with all of the extra content and things going on, it's just the big data and things that are going on. You know, they have facial recognition mm-hmm. Algorithms out there, and that's coming to video now. So once you would be able to do that, just think of all the possibilities and things, and also privacy and, you know,
right.
some huge privacy concerns, as well as like on Facebook with all the pictures and facial recognition that, you
right.
know, find this friend and find all the other pictures. That's a little bit scary.
It is. It's one thing when we tag our photos on our computer and things like that, but when complete strangers are doing, but, you know, even now with Facebook, and you can, you know, access photos. And I went into one of the programs I used to print photographs, and it said, oh, do you want to pull in photos from your Facebook? And I thought, well, I'll look and see what I've got on there. Well, when I got into it, it not only had mine, but it had all of my friends.
Right.
And I was able to print anybody's photos right. that was on there that mm-hmm. was willing to share.
Yeah.
And so that made me think a little bit, and it's like, okay,
mm-hmm.
if I have anything that's really embarrassing on my Facebook, then I need to get off because
because you do think family and friends, but it's out there. You
know, friends of friends.
Exactly. And once you share it, they share it. And you know, who knows where it ends up at.
Yep.
Okay. The other thing that technology-wise caught our interest this time, there's just recently, in fact, this weekend, you just said you received an email from Barnes & Noble.
I did. It was an email I got this morning. It was the benefits of the Attorney General eBook Settlement Fund.
Okay, so hot off the press today.
That's right. And, you know, I didn't really even recall what I bought when or anything like that. But, you know, 49 states were involved in this case and territories, and they all grouped in. And so nobody, there was no finding of the court.
Right.
They basically said this. You know, the companies didn't want to pursue it because a trial would be expensive. So this is a settlement. So
was from the Department of Justice investigating like 3 to 5 publishers and Apple.
Right.
You know, about allegedly doing price increases.
Right. Mm-hmm. And that, and so it was, I received the email, and usually things like that I have a tendency not to read. But this one, I started looking at it, and then I went to a website. There was a link and followed that. And, you know, it was pretty small. It was like, I think a couple of them released dollar amounts that they were going to either credit accounts or things like that. And I think what I saw was like 30 cents or a dollar or something along those lines.
Yep, and that's what it's, I just looked up an article here, you know, since you'd mentioned that this morning. And it says, receive payouts estimated range from 30 cents to $1.32 per title as a proposed price-fixing settlement between three book publishers in the United States. So. I need to look, you know, because I had several Amazon purchases and things in there. So maybe they say Apple, Amazon, and then I guess now Barnes & Noble.
Right, right.
For those rebates.
And as I was looking at it, I was skimming through the publishers, and they were publishers that were very well known in education.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Hatchett, HarperCollins, and Simon & Schuster.
Right. And so I don't know if it connects at all with schools and things like that, or if it's just the...
These are just the e-books.
So just the... Mm-hmm. For recreational reading, maybe more in them. But that did make me think, though, of the implications of, say, it went over to a textbook, and you would have many thousands and thousands of copies. Mm-hmm. And so it's sort of a new issue that we're dealing with the
e-books. And as the tablets become more and more popular, and they're getting more popular because they're becoming more affordable, and you know, I think people are really starting to get used to, you know, moving to that electronic format.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
So it's just completely shaking up the publishing industry, just similar to what newspapers and things went through. And we're also experiencing it in education, you know, with all these online courses and things. So technology is really touching every industry.
It is. It's going to be interesting to see how it plays out with schools. You know, here at EIU, we have textbook rental, which is rather unique. Not a lot of schools do this. And that, but so that our students don't incur that cost of the textbooks, and the university purchases them and we rent them to our students.
And this is so new. I mean, it's all being worked out literally as we speak, because we're going away from the notion of owning something to more like a subscription. It's like these e-books that we give for our college students. It's going to be good for a semester. And then they go away.
Right. And then if they want it after that, that's something are you going to have to renew every year. Whereas so, opposed to sometimes, you know, I remember in different courses I had, there were courses where I kept my textbook.
Right.
I bought it.
Right.
And that because I knew I could refer back to it in graduate school or whatever. And now if a student wants to do that, they're going to, you know, you can't just keep it.
Right.
So it's going to be interesting to see how that plays out.
Yep. So interesting times, and this, of course, will change, and I'm sure we'll be talking much more about ebooks on future episodes.
I think you're right.
Up next, I thought we would take a few minutes and talk about a podcast activity that I had one of my classes that I'm currently teaching. And what we did was set up an online discussion, and we had the students go out, and the assignment was to go out and find 3 education-related podcasts listen to them, and then I had a little form set up in the online discussion that basically a ranking, you know, 1 to 5 stars, how would you rank it, and just give a little synopsis, just a little review over what it was. And then all the other students, as they were posting the comments in there, they would also post the link to the podcast. So hopefully that was expanding the repertoire of right. all the podcasts available. So I thought I'd just play just a couple of little clips here. Had a couple volunteers that volunteered to be on Tech Talk for Teachers this time.
Thank you to them.
Yes, thank you very much. So I thought I'd just play a little clip here of what a couple of the students found. So let's see if I can cue this one up here.
Well, we reviewed several of them. One of the ones that I found was from TeacherCast, and it was an app spotlight on Reminder 101, which is a texting program. Basically, you can go ahead and you set it up, and you get an account number then, and you give that to the students. The students can then go set up the account, and you can send out reminders and things like that. So it seems like it would be very useful for, you know, in certain applications.
Okay, so what type of situation would you see that in your school?
Definitely if you're coaching in that aspect where, you know, you're running late, or let's say you have a game's snowed out or something like that, being able to send out a quick message would save some time for the parents and the students. Also, I can see where, you know, some of the teachers may want to text and say, you know, it'd be good because parents can set this up also. So you can send that text out and say, remember this Friday we're going to have tests, just remember to study, or okay. we have this project due, that kind of thing.
Okay, thank you very much. Okay, so that was Steve. So just a quick little, you know, just an overview of one of the podcasts he found. And one of the things we're also talking about in this class is, you know, time productivity and professional development. Where do we find the time
To fit it in with everything right. else that has to be done.
To keep up with everything. And, you know, we made this assignment for the audio podcast. The next assignment, they're going to be looking at video cast and screencast and things.
Oh, very cool. Well, so, I liked how he sort of approached both a local audience and a broad audience. Mm-hmm. Because whether you're specifically talking to parents, you know, of students, or right. your classes, or whether your podcast or whatever you're creating is something that you want to make available to everyone.
Right. And the nice thing, you know, about the assignment, it was set up that they were to go out and find whatever was of interest to them.
That worked. Yeah, that actually was something that was valuable and applied to what they do.
Right.
Great.
So next up, I believe Allison had a little bit of trouble with that. So let me go ahead and play this little clip here because she was in a little bit different subject area. Okay, now we're here with Allison, and Allison had a bit of a challenge because she was working, I believe, with PE. So I was just wondering, did you find any PE-related podcasts out there?
At the very beginning, I had trouble searching for just PE-specific, but then I Googled just PE podcast, and I found TalkShoe.com. Mm-hmm. It might be .org, I'm not positive.
No, it's TalkShoe.com, and that's actually a service that provides all different subject areas and things, so it's a service.
Okay, well, once I found that, there was one specific person who had several PE-related podcasts, and I actually found it through PECentral.org, which is a resource that I use daily to get different ideas off of. So once I found that, from there, I was able to find several PE-related podcasts.
Okay, thank you. Okay, so, you know, one of the nice things about it, once you do go to the effort and go out there and search on things, you right. kind of find that little gold mine out there and find that one podcast you're really interested in, and you can go back and listen to the previous episodes as well.
And it seems like sometimes you, when you're searching, your first search, you do the obvious words.
Right.
And then you start seeing matches using synonyms and other professional terms or whatever. And then all of a sudden you find more and more. So it's, you know, it's worth the investment of time to dig a little deeper when you're looking for something like that. And that sounds like that's what she did.
Right. And then also, you know, your professional organization, she mentioned a website there that she uses daily. So right. sharing those resources. And a lot of it's just getting the word out about these different podcasts and things. And as I said, once you find one, you know, be sure to share that with your fellow colleagues out there that may be interested in that material. So overall, I think that was a very good, you know, they expanded their horizons a bit. And we also, those of them that had iTunes, they could go out to iTunes University.
Right.
And find whatever subject area and things that they were interested in. And the big part of that was the sharing with the online discussion and being able to go back and forth and listen. And they were able to just do a one or two paragraph just review. And if somebody else was interested, the link was there. And they kind of did that search for some of the other people.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking whenever you were talking about that. It's like, okay, you know, often I don't have time to go looking for things, and I really appreciate it when a colleague I respect recommends something.
Right.
And so that's a great tool for them.
Today we're going to talk about a website called Taxedo, and Taxedo is a word cloud program.
It is. It's a word cloud program, and we've, you know, a lot of teachers using word walls and things like that in the classrooms, and this takes that another step farther, it's just the cool factor. It's a lot of fun to play with, and you can do some really neat things with it.
Mm-hmm. And it looks like all you have to go, or all you have to do is go out to taxedo.com, and it's just a website. It looks like it's giving you several different options, and back in the day, I used Wordle, and still do use Wordle a lot. It's one that requires Java. That's one thing that I've run into technology-wise, is it sometimes requires an updated JavaScript.
Right.
So every now and then you run into a computer lab where you have to update 30 computers just so you can use, you know, that one word cloud program.
So you definitely want to check it before your class gets there.
Mm-hmm. And then you just checked on your iPad. That's another issue. If it was flash-based or something
right.
like that, it might not work on an iPad. But Taxedo, it did work.
It did. It came up just fine.
And some of the different things out there, it's been 3-4 years ago with Wordle. One of the things that I did whenever Word Cloud started getting real popular was I took, that was back during the last election cycle, I took a speech from John McCain during the Republican convention, if I remember right, and then Barack Obama at the Democratic National Convention. And I did a compare and contrast activity, and I blogged about it, and that was one of my podcasts. I can put a link in the show notes back then. But one of the nice things about Word Cloud is it's just a different visual representation. And one of the activities I had my students do was, okay, you know, read this speech, and then I want you to come up with a word cloud before they actually did it in the activity, because basically the algorithm is, you know, the more words repeated, the larger the font size. So you're emphasizing that. So it's a different way of thinking and getting the students to go out there and compare and contrast the speech, which was very good, and then emphasize, you know, what is the main theme of this particular one. So,
and sometimes it's interesting because what you think, you know, if you were summarizing it, what you would think the theme would be isn't necessarily the words that come up the largest whenever you do the visual representation. And so I think that's really good for students to look at as well.
Now, I've not used Taxedo for a while, but it looks to be a lot more flexible than what Wordle is.
It is. It's a lot of fun. The reason I even came across it, I was talking to a teacher who was doing some work with her students on the Declaration of Independence, and they were looking at different draft versions, some early ones from the Library of Congress, and then the final version.
Uh-huh.
And so going through those drafts, just talking about how it had changed and what was different. And so we were talking about, you know, different ways of using text, you know, multiple texts to teach a topic. And one of the ways, you know, we talked about is how do you notice the changes and learn from the edits, because that's important. And so where this really doesn't point directly to the edits, it's just a really neat way to give a visual representation and share it. But what you were talking about with the speeches is great. And on the Taxedo site, there is a PDF that's 101 ideas within the blog. And I really like it because it's free. You don't have to sign up. You don't have to enroll.
Yeah, that's nice. Yeah. And that's what I liked about Wordle.
Right. And so as I went into that 101, it was giving examples because now you can make it into the shape of anything you want.
Yeah, that's really neat. And they've got several examples out here.
Right. So if you're talking about a country, you can use a map of that country and the shape, the silhouette, you mm-hmm. know, of it, and use it mm-hmm. to have the words in that shape.
Right, and that seems like a tiny little detail, but you know, going to the way that we learn things and make those associations, you know, that's important because that affects the, you know, the way that we remember those
right.
things for our recall. So I think that's real important.
Right, and as someone who is geographically challenged, I struggle with maps. You know, seeing the states, the words in the shape of a state would be really beneficial mm-hmm. to me to help me remember and
right.
and also, you know, silhouettes of faces
right.
or flags or anything like that.
Well, I'm just thinking of an activity that just popped into my mind out there. This would be with the advent of all the social networks and, for example, my Twitter network. I follow a number of educators back and forth. And wouldn't it be neat if you could design an activity? And, you know, many teachers across the nation are using Twitter for their professional learning networks. But say that you want to come up with like a middle school states program.
Mm-hmm.
If you could have like, you know, a teacher in, you know, say North Carolina, whatever, make that connection on Twitter and say, okay, class, I would like for you to come up with 3 or 4 paragraphs about what do you think our state, North Carolina, or in our case, it would be Illinois.
Right.
So, okay, class, you know, my sixth grade class, whatever it is. What are some of the key attributes of our state?
Very cool.
And let those children come up with it, and then the teacher could put that into the shape of the state. And it's kind of distributing some of that work out there, but, you know, the students would be very involved with that because they're working with a class halfway across the country.
Oh, and it's interesting to get the perspective of other students
mm-hmm.
instead of, you know, population, import, export, right. you know, all the things
right.
that we typically mm-hmm. look at when we look at states. So yeah, that would
if anybody's ever done something like that, you know, let us know and we can talk about it at our next show and put a link out there in the show notes to it. But there's just all kinds of associations and things. The other thing that's a little bit different than the world, it's a much more sophisticated program because you have control. And you were showing me earlier that like in Wordle, it would be the most common word. The more common the word, the larger the font is.
Right.
But I think you said that you could readjust some terms.
It still does that. It'll do the most frequently occurring or the largest.
Mm-hmm.
But you can control colors.
Oh, okay.
And so there are tons of color options that you can choose. I happen to do one on a black background with white text.
Uh-huh.
But I did one for homecoming, and I put in College of Education and Professional Studies and had that turn red.
Uh-huh.
And then our theme is Pump Up the Blue. I had that blue and then created the image, and those words were in those colors.
Mm-hmm.
So say if you're talking about a theme, and the example they had in the 101 ideas is if it's a photography word cloud, then the word photography can be in red. So you really get your key point mm-hmm. out there.
Right.
And, you know, so you can do things like that and customize it to make it a little more unique for this is just for the presentation.
Mm-hmm.
So you kind of have two steps. You have the final product. When you see it, you know, get a look at the content and what they're saying. And then you have the next step of customizing it
mm-hmm.
and putting it in the shape and colors and fonts and all that you want
mm-hmm.
that lets you present it. So to do that, students have to, you know, understand what they're looking at. They have to actually read it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not like they can put it in there and get a summary and get the gist of it. It's not
right.
Cliff Notes. But,
right.
You know, it's just a really neat, if you're, say, for example, if you were doing, you know, something about a novel or something like that, you might want to have the main character's name show up in mm-hmm. a certain color
mm-hmm.
or something like that to just make it.
Okay,
and
we can put a link in the show notes there of that example.
Yeah.
And the end result is that's just a JPEG file, correct?
Correct.
Okay, so that makes it very easy to go out there, post on the web, whatever you'd like to do.
Yeah.
Or put together a slideshow like on your iPad or something there.
That's true. Yeah, actually, and on their site, they have a link where you can order coffee mugs and things too.
I'm sure, like
of
all
course.
Web 2.0 services.
But I thought it was really interesting because they had, you know, for example, John F. Kennedy's inaugural speech.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, that would be neat to do, you know, compare inaugural speeches from different presidents.
It really would.
over time mm-hmm. and see how much has stayed the same and how much is different. Mm-hmm. That would be really fun. And then another thing they have is you can put in a URL, and you and I were looking at this earlier, a Twitter ID, a Delicious ID, a news topic, I believe, mm-hmm. or a search or an RSS feed. And, I mean, it'll create one for those.
Right. And that does not require a login. That's what I really like about it, because it's just going out there and generating those on the fly and then just ask you to save it there at the end.
Right. So I just thought this was just a neat way that either a teacher can present information or to let students take it to that next step. And after they've learned about the topic and that, to present it in a way that's unique and mm-hmm. and just something fun.
Okay, and then we'll provide a few links out here, but off their right. website, you know, they've got some of the main links, and just going out looking at their gallery, they've got some like almost like self-portraits of whether it be yourself or Martin Luther King or mm-hmm. whoever it might be.
And within the blog, there are a lot of really good technical pieces, because I wasn't sure about the colors, because you have to put the codes in for the colors. Mm-hmm. But within the blog, they provided that. And so there's instructions in there if there's anything you have a question about, too.
Okay. So I guess, you know, from a teaching learning perspective, just kind of decide what you want. And I've used that compare and contrast, because that's just such a
right.
a powerful, you know, learning mechanism. It's really getting your higher order thinking skills going. And looks like a lot of different possibilities. Again, no matter what subject area, I can think of things in science coming up, and of course, English literature
sure.
is a natural for this. So we'll put the link out there, and that's taxedo.com.
Very good.
My technology pick of the week this week is an add-in to Microsoft Word called WordTalk. I'll have a link in the show notes. What this particular add-in does is, about a week and a half ago, I had someone ask, is there a text-to-speech application that we can have out there to kind of have test read to students?
Oh, sure.
So, you know, many of the tests are in a Microsoft Word format. So it's funny how you come across things, because I use Twitter as my professional learning network, and I have a pretty extensive network of educators all across the world. And as you start paying attention to different things, you start noticing things in your Twitter stream. And I came across a person recommended this particular add-in called mm-hmm. WordTalk. So thank you for that recommendation. And it is just an add-in. It's simple to install. Now, this one, I've only used the Windows 7 version, and they do have it for both 32-bit and 64-bit versions, but very easy to install, very easy to use. So what I thought I would do is just share what it kind of sounds like, and it's just a speech talks text to speech. So I've got a little transcript here. You know, we try providing transcripts for our different episodes. So I'm just going to put this into Microsoft Word, go to my add-ins tab, and then there is a little bubble that says, you know, start talking. So let me click this.
Transcript for episode 136 of Tech Talk for Teachers Music Plays Tom. It's Friday, September 14th, 2012, and welcome to episode 136 of Tech Talk for Teachers. Cindy, I'm Cindy Rich. Tom. And I'm Tom Grissom. Cindy, we are changing things up a little bit.
Okay, so I'll just pause that. But
right.
It literally reads the words off of your screen. And what also is very nice about this program is it puts a blue highlight around the word. So you're actually seeing whatever you see. So for those, you know, if you're in elementary school or something needing some help with reading
sure.
or remedial reading, it can help train your eye with that.
Sure. It reinforces they can read along while they're listening to the voice.
Mm-hmm.
Now, is there a cost for this?
This one's free. This
one's even better.
It uses the Microsoft Speech API, and it only has one voice, which it's known affectionately as Microsoft Anna. But I don't know if you can buy. Sometimes you can buy extra voice packs, and you'll have a male voice different. For your different accents, and
Sure.
But this one I've only come across, but it was a free download. I'll provide the link in the show notes where I got this from. But you can also change the speed. So if you are not a proficient reader, you can slow this down a little bit. And let me take this down about 25% and say okay. And now then let's listen to a playback here real quick.
Transcript for episode 136 of Tech Talk for Teachers Music Plays Tom. It's Friday, September 14th, 2012.
Okay, so I'll stop that there. But again, for those students that have reading difficulty and things, it's a great option. And I believe it's only available for Office 2007 and Office 2010 versions of Word. I used to use a program called Read Please, but whenever I went out there to find the Windows 7 version, it didn't look like it was updated. So that kind of led me on this path to find this.
Right. Well, I'm thinking another application for that is that if you have anyone who's visually impaired, whether someone who's
absolutely
elderly or young,
yeah,
and that, or just struggles reading a computer screen,
mm-hmm,
that, you know, copying and pasting an email or something, mm-hmm, like that into Word, that
right,
it can be read to them and they can, it'd be a little bit easier for
right
them.
And if you are an impatient person, you can actually speed it up as well as slow it down. So let me go about 75% here and let's listen to this.
Transcript for episode 136 of Tech Talk for Teachers Music Play Tom. It's Friday, September 14th, 2012, and welcome to episode 136 of Tech Talk for Teachers. I'm Cindy Rich. Tom.
So you actually on my MP3 player, you know, you have that ability on podcasts.
You can control
the speed and things. And for those that are like super busy and want to save that extra time, but we can listen so much faster, you know, than read.
Right.
Or, I'm sorry. Speeding it up, we can listen and still comprehend what the content is. So that's available out there. And then the last feature that I really like is you can actually save this to either an MP3 or a WAV file.
Nice.
So let's say, you know, had an email or something that you want to go out there. You can actually copy and paste the text of an email into Word, click on save as WAV or MP3, and then download it to your portable MP3 player. And then as you're going down the road, you could be listening to whatever content
right
it is.
Well, or if you have multiple students, you know, say you want to have that audio version accessible to everyone.
Right.
And, you know, and I know as, you know, early childhood teachers, sometimes we have parents come in and record books that we have in the mm-hmm classroom and things. And sometimes you just don't have,
right,
you know, enough people to get that done.
Right. And, you know, we just talked a little bit about the Kindle, which has some, you know, text-to-speech mm-hmm capabilities. But we're also working through some copyright issues and the Authors right Guild and thing. And Amazon have kind of gone back and forth of, you know, is this a derivative work? Are there additional licensing fees out there? And, you know, whenever I do my podcast, whenever I do workshops and things for teaching teachers how to do podcasts, sometimes they come up and say, well, I would like to record that children's book or something.
Right.
And we have to be careful with the copyright issues on that
right,
because you are changing that form.
That's very true. And especially if you plan to share it with more than one person.
Right. But, you know, this one is just a very simple program available out there. And I really like it because it really is simple to use. There are, of course, full-fledged programs like JAWS, which mm-hmm cost hundreds of dollars. And a little bit more sophisticated that allows you some extra functions and, you know, actually control the computer and things. But I know many teachers have a need, you know, students need to have a test read to them or
sure
some instructions and things. So hopefully if you're in that situation, hopefully this tech pick will help you out there.
Very cool.
All right. So what do you have this time?
Well, something I've become a big fan of and been encouraging folks I know to take a look at is Flipboard
mm-hmm
on my phone, iPad, and that.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm embarrassed to say sometimes I need my news and information in quick doses.
Mm-hmm. And Flipboard, it's an app. It's on Apple iOS, and I've got it on my Nexus 7, so it's available on Android.
Okay.
And it takes your RSS feeds And right. It's very attractive, the format that it puts it in.
It's a neat little format. You get an image to look at, which, you know, I always appreciate, mm-hmm. being a very visual person. And so I like having that image. And then you have the option, you can read basically the highlights of the story right there. Mm-hmm. And you can follow the link. And right. It pulls from, I don't know how many different news sources, but more than I would ever have time to look at myself.
And you can set it up to customize it to your interest.
Right, because you can go into different topics. And so you have things like news, or you can do a whole just election 2012 mm-hmm. flipboard. And so that's all it pulls in. But all of these different, whether it's Huffington Post, USA Today, and I've even seen some smaller newspapers mention local papers. Mm-hmm. And things, but you get a nice mix of mm-hmm. perspectives on a story. But you can go in, whether it's, you know, things like sports, of course, or travel, or just whatever your interests are. And there's also a neat one, it's local. So if you're near a major city or a community you're going to be visiting, mm-hmm. you want to learn a little more about it, you can do that too. And you can change those mm-hmm. as you go. And so it's just, like I said, it's a neat way for especially folks like me who don't want to read through tons of news stories.
Very concise.
Sometimes I want the highlights, but more times than not, I end up clicking on a full story anyway. Because once I read that, then I want to learn more about it.
And it's called Flipboard because you just slide your finger across and goes to the next story.
Yeah.
So it's just kind of like paging through pages of a newspaper, except it's each article.
Yep, but it's really neat. And Tom, actually, you introduced me to that, so I appreciate that.
Now you're addicted,
that.
So I'm sorry.
I am, and I'm spreading it around, too.
So, okay, and it uses the RSS feeds. I've not delved deeply into the technical portions of it, but if it is an RSS feed, and if you can subscribe to, like, local contents, like our Tech Talk for Teachers blog, you might be able to do something like that. But speaking of RSS feeds, you know, last time we mentioned October 20th that Google was making some changes to their FeedBurner account,
right.
which is what we use for RSS feeds. I still don't really know any more than that. I think we're going to be okay. I'm a little concerned about our iTunes University because that feed pulls from there.
And so,
but if you happen to get disconnected and you miss us, please go out there. Just go out to Tech Talk for Teachers. Just do a search for that. You'll find us, or go to our Instructional Technology Center website at eiu.edu/ITC, and we'll have some more information out there.
Right, and hopefully as we learn more, we'll share it with everyone else. But I have a feeling that when changes do happen, we're all going to be impacted more than we realize, and that from different areas that we just take for granted every day. And so we'll probably all be more aware than we think we will right now.
Okay, thank you. That wraps it up for episode 138 of Tech Talk for Teachers. Show notes for this episode and archived episodes are available on the web at the EIU Instructional Technology Center website at eiu.edu/ITC. To leave a comment or suggestion, please send an email to techtalk@eiu.edu or leave a comment on the Tech Talk for Teachers blog. Until next time, this is Tom Grissom
and Cindy Rich.
Keep on learning.